Welcome to Grace and Glory Audio, featuring Pastor P.G. Matthew. Today, Pastor Matthew continues in his series on the Epistle of 1 Peter with this message entitled, The Ministry of the Rock, preached March 12, 2017. If you have your Bible with you, please turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 4.
From 1 Peter 2, 4 through 8. I want to speak to you about two ministries of the rock, Jesus Christ. And at the end, I hope you will fear and tremble, and you will work out your salvation with fear and trembling. There are two specific ministries of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock, who has received all authority in heaven and on earth. He saves everyone who believes in him, in Jesus Christ, who was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Jesus Christ alone is the resurrection and the life. He alone is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. Eternal life is in God's Son. He who has the Son has life. Jesus himself said, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. The congregations Peter was writing to, we learned, had tasted the Lord and found out that he is kind, he is gracious, and good. Quoting Psalm 34. They heard the gospel. They were born again by the imperishable seed of the living and life-giving word of the gospel. And they repented, sir, of their sins and trusted in Jesus Christ alone and were saved forever. They were growing fast in the knowledge of their salvation as they were voraciously drinking the spiritual pure milk of the Word of God. Friends, not only the Lord saves elect sinners, he also judges and condemns the vast majority of wicked people who refuse to repent of their sins and trust in Jesus. When these wicked sinners harden their hearts, as Pharaoh of old, who asked, who is the Lord that I should believe and obey him? So the Lord hardened their hearts and condemns them in judgment. So we read in John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. If you do not taste Jesus as Savior, I guarantee you, you will taste him, experience him as the righteous judge. You may rest on this rock, or this rock may fall on you and crush you. That is the choice that you face today. Hear his gracious invitation and come to Jesus. He said, Matthew 11, come to me all you who are weary and burdened. That's what happens to those who serve the devil. They become weary and burdened. and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy you. But I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So 3 points, sir. Jesus Christ, the living stone. Jesus Christ, the saving stone. Jesus Christ, the crushing stone, crushing to death. Sin-weary sinners are invited, not only at conversion, but all of life, to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. They are invited to come to the Savior. Jesus is the living stone that makes those dead in sins alive. He is the living word that raises up the entombed Lazarus. How can spiritually dead people come to Jesus? Because he is the resurrection and the life. John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And when he draws you, you come to him. It is called effectual call. John 12:32, but I, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. And I am drawn, and you are drawn, and you came. You are made alive to hear and do the will of God. The Father will draw you, the Son will draw you, the Spirit will regenerate you and give you the gift of repentance and the gift of saving faith. And you will repent and believe in Jesus Christ. And you will be saved. Come to the living stone who makes every elect dead stone eternally living. So first, Jesus Christ is the living stone. Why? The Father raised him from the dead. He lives forever. He died for our sins and he lives for us now. He is the vine, we are the branches. His life flows into the branches, and the branches produce fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. With Christ's life, we can do all the will of God. Paul said, I can do all things through him who continually strengthens me. We are, sir, living stones made alive by Jesus, the risen one. Thank God we are stones, not Play-Doh. We are strong in the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit regenerated us, giving us a new heart, a new nature. Holy Spirit indwells us. He empowers us. He enlightens us. He comes upon us. He leads us in the narrow way of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Second, Jesus rejected of men, of non-elect wicked men. They heard of Jesus. They heard the gospel. They read the Bible. They went to God's holy church to hear the living word preached by godly ministers. They examined his person and his miraculous works and his gracious teachings. Yet the elders of Israel, the priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the kings, and Pilate finally rejected him and crucified him. They later learned that Jesus was raised from the dead on the third day, as he had predicted. Yet they rejected him and refused to believe on him and confess him as Lord. Third, but he is chosen by the Father. The Son of God was chosen by God in God's eternal counsel to accomplish redemption by his death and resurrection. And so we read in Isaiah 42 verse 1, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. And I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations." Chosen, sir. Matthew 17:5, "While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him.'" Have you heard that, sir? We listen to everybody. One person we must listen and hear and believe and follow is Jesus Christ. Listen to him. As I am speaking, listen to him. And St. Peter himself says in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 20, "He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in this last time for your sake, for your salvation." And therefore, we are also chosen in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1 verse 1, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect," God's chosen ones. Ephesians 1 4, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight," chosen in Jesus Christ. Number four, Jesus Christ is precious to the Father. He is highly honored. Do you honor Jesus Christ by obeying him, sir? He is highly honored. He is the hidden treasure and the pearl of the highest value. So we read in Matthew chapter 13, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." How? By faith in him. Speaking about Jesus Christ, sir. Friends, he is our treasure. You are the poorest person in the world if you have entrusted in Jesus Christ alone for your eternal salvation. Friends, let me tell you, God is our treasure and we are God's treasure. Yes. The Hebrew word is segula. Exodus 19, "Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and holy nation." Malachi 3:17, "They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty, in the day when I make up my treasured possession." My treasured jewels. Did you hear what I said, sir? God is our treasure, and we are God's treasure. So when Christ invites, we come to him, energized by the triune God. For he came to us as the life-giving Spirit, to seek and save that which is lost. He came to the publican and in his mercy he justified him. He saved him. He came seeking the legion demon man and he saved him. He is coming to save you now. And I say, come to him and be saved from your sins and from his wrath. Come to him and he will make you living stones. He will build you up into first a spiritual house. Jesus said, on this massive rock I will build my church, referring to Christ himself, not Peter. He is a living stone, but not the foundation stone. He gives life to stones and builds his church with Christ himself as the sure foundation. He builds the spiritual house with many spiritual stones from the Jews and the Gentiles. That is why we don't discriminate in God's holy church. Colossians 3:11, here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all.
Yes.
Holy Spirit dwells in this spiritual house. So we read 1 Corinthians 3:16, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? Everyone. Every living stone of true believer is built into this church. Therefore, he or she relates to Christ as sure foundation and to every other living stones of true believers. A believer in the church is not an autonomous being. He loves Christ and every believer in the church. If one member suffers, all suffer. If one rejoices, all rejoice, as it is true of a human body. Friends, there is no loose living stone in this spiritual house that Christ is building. Loose spiritual stone that roams and floats at will. One day here, one day there, one day just floats through. 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us, but their going showed that none of them belonged to us. And Ephesians 2:20 through 22, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Spiritual house. Second, this living stone building is also a holy priesthood. This means every believer is a priest to God. Man, men, women, master, slave, poor, rich, children, they are a holy priesthood, sir. They are holy because God is holy. I say to you this morning, antinomians and one-way love people will hear from Jesus on that day, depart from me. I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. In the evangelical and the reformed Presbyterian world, antinomianism is the dominant theology. They never speak about holy living. If Holy Spirit dwells in his church, then we must be holy priesthood. We must live holy life. Be holy, he said, for I am holy. There are no pope or cardinals. in the church which Christ is building. Every believer is a priest, having equal access to the throne of grace. So Hebrew writer says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Hebrews 7:25, therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Friends, we are priests. Everyone who trusts in Christ is a priest. Revelation 5 verse 10, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve God. This does not negate Christ's gifts to the church, especially of pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for the work of service. And number three, what is the purpose of this holy priesthood? To offer spiritual sacrifices. We today offer no bloody sacrifices. Why is that, sir? Hebrews 7:27, unlike the other high priest, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. But we offer spiritual sacrifices. First, our bodies. Romans 12 verse 1, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Your body, sir, and what you do with your body. You have no right to do what you want to do with your body. Your body is bought with a price. What is the price, sir? The blood of Jesus Christ. And secondly, we are to evangelize, which is also worship. And you read recently Romans 15:16. Paul says to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God. Everyone has a responsibility to share the gospel. Everyone. How can we dare to experience salvation and never say to anybody? We must speak to everyone in our home, in our relationship, in our neighborhood, filled with the Spirit, with power and authority, pointing them to Jesus Christ who saves sinners. Nobody else saves sinners. And we give gifts to spread the gospel. Philippians 4:18, I have received full payment, even more, I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. We worship God. Everyone comes to worship God. So Hebrews 13:15, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that confess his name. And so also prayer. You go home and read Hebrews 4:16 and Revelation 8:3 and 4. Number six, doing good and sharing with the needy people. And in this church, we do that. Hebrews 13, verse 16, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. How can you walk away when your sister and brother doesn't have anything to eat? And finally, a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Psalm 51, 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Repentance, authentic repentance is a sacrifice, and God accepts it. Number four, acceptable to God, offer sacrifices acceptable to God. Most worship of most Christian churches in the world is not accepted by God. They are unbiblical, offered by unconverted people. They are like Cain's sacrifice, rejected by God. Not Abel's sacrifice, accepted by God. Friends, ask yourself, are your prayers and worship accepted by God or hindered by sin? Go home and look at these scriptures, Matthew 5:23 and 24, Mark 11 verse 25, 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. Unconfessed sins render worship unacceptable to a holy God. So get right with your wife before you come to church, or husband, or anybody else, because he will not accept your worship. Christ's sacrifice was fully acceptable to God, so God raised him from the dead. And number five, through Jesus Christ alone, we offer this acceptable worship. He is our high priest, our only mediator between God and man. We come to the Father in the name of Jesus to worship. No one approaches the throne of grace in his own name. Romans 5, 1 and 2, therefore since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. By his death, friends, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, giving us access to the presence of God. You don't need a pope or a cardinal or a priest. You are priest. Second, Jesus Christ is saving stone. The true believers have come to Jesus and tasted him as kind, gracious, and good. He is our Savior and Lord. Yet he is Savior only to those who come to Jesus, only to those who repent and believe in Jesus, our Redeemer. The believers can come to him, and the weary find rest in him. The scripture speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ as a massive stone upon whom the sin-weary soul can rest forever. So we read this text, which St. Peter quotes. So this is what the Sovereign Lord says: see, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, for a sure foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed. God the Father is laying in Zion this salvation stone. He planned our salvation in eternity. He loves his elect sinners. Number two, he says, behold, surprise! Instead of God destroying sinners, he saves sinners by the incarnational life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Behold, be surprised, you elect sinners. Be surprised of your Savior, God, man, Lord Jesus Christ. Look at him. Fix your eyes on him. And grow up in knowledge of him. And so, number three, this is tested stone. The Father thoroughly examined and found him perfect. He is without sin. He is well pleased with him. He is tested and approved by God. Yet the non-elect sinners have rejected him. They tested him too, and they rejected him. But for he is strong, sir, and nobody can defeat him. He is a living stone. He defeats all his enemies, and he gives eternal security to his people who trust in him. Number five, he is precious. He is precious to us, sir. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Malachi 4:2, Son of Righteousness, with healing in his wings. Hebrews 1, Radiance of God's glory. Colossians 2:9, In him dwelleth the fullness of Godhead bodily. Have you seen him as precious? And number six, he is the cornerstone for a sure foundation. Cornerstone is a great stone laid for the foundation at the place where two walls came together. It provided stability for the whole building. Foundation of the church is established on the prophets and the apostles, held all together by our Lord Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, which was the most magnificent stone. Every living stone relates to this cornerstone and to every other living stone of the building. Sir, the church is not built on sand, but on rock Christ. It cannot be shaken. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Psalm 125 says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. Bedrock, Christ. The one who trusts in this stone Savior Jesus Christ will never be put to shame. This believer will surely be saved forever. He is eternally secure, sir. Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And St. Paul says in Romans 8:37-39, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Have you ever meditated on that? In all these things we are what, sir? More. The words fail even to the apostle. More than conquerors. We are more through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sir, Jesus died for me, and Jesus lives for me. And Jesus is our treasure. And we are his treasures. For whose salvation he died. He will never die again. To us who believe, Jesus is precious. He is our eternal Savior and Lord. Let me tell you, sir, number three. He is also the crushing stone. But there is another ministry for this Jesus, who is King of kings and Lord of lords. He has received all authority in heaven and on earth. Listen to this, what St. Paul says in Ephesians 1:22, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, for the benefit of the church. Everything! Philippians 2:9-11, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Everyone, sir. And everyone. Those who will not come to Jesus trusting in him, those who refuse to surrender to him wholly, will experience this massive stone to fall on them and crush them. So Daniel says this in Daniel 2, while you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. He struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were broken to pieces at the same time and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. The kingdom of Christ abides forever. Daniel 2:44, and so on. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut of a mountain. You have to relate to him either as Savior or as judge. And you say you just died, he will raise you up. The moment you die, you go to hell. And then he will raise you up and send you to hell. You think it's a joke, sir? I don't believe man's word. I believe God's word. You read the little book, 100 pages by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones on authority. And he establishes the authority of the Word of God, authority of Jesus Christ, authority of the Holy Spirit. 17-year-old, 27-year-old, 58-year-old, arrogance, treats my Christ with contempt, and you'll be killed. Everyone who will not trust in Jesus, the only heaven-sent Savior, the only one who destroyed death and the devil by his death and resurrection, the only way to the Father, the only high priest and mediator between God and man, will experience Jesus as the judge of the world, as the massive stone fall on them and crush them. He will save his people, sir. Matthew 25:34, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. And he will judge the wicked, sending them to hell. Matthew 25:41, then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. St. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. The massive stone is the foundation stone for them who believe in Jesus and be saved. To the wicked, this stone becomes a stone that causes one to stumble and fall and be destroyed. Peter heard Jesus speaking of himself as the stone which the leaders of Israel rejected. They crucified him and buried him. They thought they had solved this stone problem, this Jesus problem. Then they heard Jesus is risen from the dead. And he's coming again to deal with all the wicked. Listen to Jesus himself. Matthew 21, Jesus said to him, to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone? The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to people that will produce its fruit. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed. You still don't want to trust in Jesus Christ, sir? You are 88 years of age and 18 years of age and looking forward to 18th year to get out. You are 17 and a half and wondering, when can I get out? From God, from parents, from everybody. He will find you out and deal with you so severely. Revelation 19, hear it. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Be saved or be crushed. That is the choice. The rock ministry consists of salvation and damnation. I plead with you, I beg you, to surrender to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Believe in him and be saved today. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is testimony of God given about his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Let me ask you, sir. You have the Son. Do you have life? Life eternal. Come to him and be saved. Isaiah 8, the Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. And he will be a sanctuary. But for both the houses of Israel, he will be a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. Friends, God says, those who honor, I will honor. Those who despise me, I will despise. Let me read certain scriptures that will ring in your ears as you go out of this place. Acts 13:46, then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, we had to speak the word of God to you first, since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life. We now turn to the Gentiles. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. You are appointed, sir. Everyone is appointed, either for eternal life or eternal damnation. Romans 9:22-23, what if God, choosing to show his wrath, make his power known, bore with great patience the objects of his wrath prepared for destruction? Two appointments. What if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of his mercy, whom he prepared in advance for glory? Romans 11:22, consider, think. Consider what, sir? Therefore, the kindness and sternness of God. The church to which Peter wrote tasted him as kind and gracious. But he says there is another tasting for which they were appointed. Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God, sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise you will be cut off. What does the Lord require of you? To do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly before your God. So 1 Peter 8, chapter 2, verse 8, they stumble. You see, I'm not surprised when somebody doesn't want to believe. Neither was Paul or Jesus, because they are appointed by God from all eternity to stumble and fall, to experience Christ as a massive stone falling on them, or to experience a Savior. So Paul says they stumble because they disobeyed the gospel, which is also what they were appointed to. Either we are appointed to eternal life, Acts 13:48, or eternal destruction, 1 Peter 2:8. Don't ever think that Jesus is the biggest joke in the world. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. He is the creator. He is the sustainer. He is the redeemer. He is the radiance of God's glory, in whom dwells all Godhead bodily. I offer to you Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we pray that you speak to all people, to those who have trusted in you and those who have not trusted in you. And it is my prayer and our prayer that you show mercy. As you showed mercy to us, we were stony-hearted people, and you showed mercy to us and you saved us forever. Save your people, O Lord, who are appointed for eternal life. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Grace Valley Christian Center is committed to the unchanging truth of the Holy Scriptures. We have been proclaiming the whole counsel of God since 1974 through our weekly worship services, our website resources, and our publishing ministry. For more information about our church, to find more edifying sermons, or to order books by the Reverend P.G. Matthew, please visit our website at gracevalley.org.